Welcome into a very special episode of the Cornhusker Conversation presented by Woodhouse. He might have played his last game as a Cornhusker, but will forever be a Cornhusker. All-American running back Emmett Johnson. Great to see you. Thanks for spending some time with us. I know it's been a whirlwind of a few weeks for you.
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate you guys having me on the show. It's a blessing to be here. I'm proud to be a Husker.
How does that sound, All-American?
Oh, it sounds amazing, and it's honestly an honor. You know, the first one since Levante David, which is a blessing, and it just comes to the hard work I put in through the offseason. It's a lot of people that play a role into that. My older brother, Charles Johnson, he's helped me a lot through this whole process. So, yeah, I can really give thanks to God and thanks to the people that helped me.
So the last week we talked to you, you had not announced your decision yet. You decided to go to the NFL, and I know it's bittersweet around here. Obviously, a lot of people very excited for you and happy for you and going to be big fans of you wherever you go next. But also a little bitter because obviously people love you around here a lot. But yeah. What went into your decision? Take us through that and why you felt ready to take this next step.
Just a lot of prayer. I would say, after that last Iowa game, I talked about it with my family and things like that. But, I just had a feeling in my heart that, God wanted me to go chase my childhood dreams, which is playing in the NFL. Being here for 4 years, I feel like I have no regrets looking back on it. I feel like I left everything on the field, everything in the practice room, the classroom. And so I just felt like it was the right time for me to move on and play in the NFL. Obviously, it's tough leaving teammates and coaches and things like that. But with the season I had, I feel like it was just my best interest to leave.
Well, some people captured you leaving the field in that game against Iowa, and you were pretty emotional. What were the emotions you were feeling walking off the field in Memorial?
Yeah, nobody knew, but I knew that was my last game, mm-hmm. Possibly on that field. And, it just meant a lot. Obviously, losing that game hurt, too, as well. I kind of wanted to go out as a winner, especially for the seniors who didn't, haven't beat Iowa or some of the other guys who haven't beat Iowa. I just wanted to win that game, so it was just, passion for the game of football and also realizing that it could be my last game on that field too as well.
So throughout the process of the season, you were always so laser focused on next game. And so I'm sure now, have you had a time to reflect on what you were able to accomplish this season?
Yeah. The other day I was talking to my brother. He was kind of just like, we're going through some of the awards. And I'm just like, I didn't know there's that many awards in college football, but I was so focused and so into it during the season that I wasn't really understanding, the history and things that I was doing. And so looking back on it now, it looks pretty cool to see some of the things that I achieved, but I'm always going to be hungry for more because I know that, I know what it feels like to not have anything, to not be playing, not be in the spotlight. So I'm always going to be hungry to want more.
If you could boil down what you were able to accomplish in three big things, what would those three things be?
That's a good question. I'll say dominance, consistency, and last one, dominance, consistency, and heart. I think those three things explain the type of season that I had just because, obviously dominance in terms of, performance, consistency, and, showing up every single day, being the same person, being a great teammate. In practice, and all my teammates can tell you that I think I showed up every single day. And then heart, I feel like I gave everything I had to the program. Every time I was out there on the field, I had heart. And you can see that through my game and how hard I run. And so those three things are the best way to describe my season.
I love it. Perfectly described. You always believed in yourself. There's no doubt about that. It took, a little bit for everybody else to see what you always believed in yourself. But that being said, you're not the same player that you were when you stepped on campus here. So when you look back at a season that hadn't been done here in a long time and all these things that you were able to accomplish that a lot of people have not been able to do, where do you attribute maybe the growth and kind of the biggest jump, I guess, that allowed for you to be the kind of player you were this year?
I'll just say continue stacking days. I think I was kind of taking it one day at a time. Obviously, I got a lot bigger, faster, and stronger throughout the years, but every single day I was dedicated to, having a deliberate practice and just focusing on one thing to get better at. I'd always ask Coach EJ or, whoever was coaching me for my weakness or whatever they thought I was doing wrong and just kind of learn from that and just try to perfect everything. I didn't want to just be a one-dimensional running back. I wanted to be every single down back. Something, you know, Coach Brown told me about was just treating my life like a sponge, which is just like you get into it what you or you get out of it what you put into it. And it's like if you pour orange juice into a sponge, apple juice isn't going to come out. It's going to be orange juice because that's what you put in. So understanding that the hard work that goes into the training of my everyday life is going to pay off at some point, but just to continue stacking days and just keep getting better, I think that's what helped me lead to this position. Because when I wasn't playing, I think the times that I was going hard, it was easy to like just quit and be like, okay, I'm not going to go hard today. I'm not going to play in the game. But like those days that I continued to keep going hard and grinding, those are the days that separated me from everybody else. So when I got my opportunity, I was ready. And not just ready, I was ready to dominate.
Yeah. It truly is a testament to the patience that it might take to you know, reap the kind of benefits that you were able to do this year. It was a long process, yeah. And you have to stick to it.
Yeah.
It's just, a lot of people don't want to stick to it that long, I guess.
Yeah, it was tough, man. A lot of days, like I said, I read my journal a lot of days and just writing down. I was counting the days down to like when I would get my first handoff. And it was like 475 days. I always write down and go back to that page in my book and just look at, you know, all the hard work paying off. It meant a lot in the long run, but there's some days where I'm just like, dang, like, am I going to get my chance? But just kept faith in God. I had a good family around me, support system, and that helped me be successful.
Dana Holgorsen, there's no doubt he thinks the world of you. He's talked a lot about the conversations that you guys had this time a year ago. Yeah. Can you give us some insight to that? And, you know, what led you to believe wholeheartedly in Dana Holgorsen and wanting to, again, see what he could do with your skill set?
Yeah, when he first came in, it was kind of difficult because he's kind of hard to read. When I first met him, I was like, he's super nonchalant. Like, he doesn't really express his emotions that much. When I first met him, he was just like, call me 21. You know, he didn't really know my name like that. And as we continued to, like, keep going through days of practice, he would just, like, notice my work and, like, how hard I worked in practice. And he would bring that up all the time. And then he gave me the opportunity, obviously, to, you know, go in there, start and just, you know, play at a high level and play freely. So I'm extremely blessed to have, you know, Dana as my coordinator here. Like I said, he changed the trajectory of my career. He's somebody who I can, you know, text and call up any time. That USC game was our first game together, and I remember going through that same play that I scored on during the week of practice, and, like, I told him I was going to score in the game. He's like, damn right you're going to score. Like, he was just giving me that confidence that, like, you're going to go out there and play well. And then, obviously, thinking about leaving was tough. And I had some talks with him and stuff like that. He was just telling me, like, I know you're planning on entering the portal or whatever like that, but if you enter, I'm still going to recruit you. And so I was just like, okay, so maybe he really, really, really wants me here. And so that's why I took time to pray about it with my family. And, God led me to come back here, and I knew it was the right decision just because of my faith. And people around me, my family, they told me, you know, things that, you know, I can't take for grateful around here, which is my family, away from home, like the people that are around here, the facility, fans. There's a lot of great things that are here. And so, you know, Dana was just that aspect that I needed to, you know, just give me the confidence to perform at a high level and come back and dominate the way I did this year.
What does EJ Barthel mean to you, and has he meant to you throughout this process?
Yeah, he means a lot. EJ's seen, like, you know, every step of my career, really. When he first came in, they didn't know anything about my game. They didn't know, you know, how good of a player I was. And I would always just tell him, like, coach, whenever you give me an opportunity, I'll be ready. He told me a story about one of his running backs that were, like, fourth or fifth under the depth chart. It might have been at UConn or something. But and he said about the middle of the season they were starting. And so that was a story he told me going into camp because I was, you know, obviously hungry to play. And it was my redshirt freshman year. You know, I think eventually in the season I ended up playing. But it was just kind of crazy to see that happen. And then also he's just been a great guy off the field too. Coach EJ has a lot of passion. He's been through a lot in his life, and he makes sure that his running backs are better men, not just good players on the field. And he also makes sure that on the field you know your stuff, because he's not putting you out there if you don't know, like, what to do. And that's something I give credit to him for, because, you know, not a lot of coaches will do that or sacrifice their time. I know he probably doesn't like me sharing this, but, you know, he doesn't have wife, kids, or anything, so, like, he treats us like his kids, basically. But, yeah, he's somebody who, you know, I text every single day. Now we're at the point where he used to be able to coach me super, super hard and, like, you know, be that mentor to me. Now I understand the game more. So now we're just kind of like homies, and he kind of just gives me points on little things. But he's definitely prepared me for the next level, and I know in terms of football, my IQ level is extremely high because of him. And, yeah, I know when it comes to the next level NFL, I'll be ready for whatever they throw at me just because he's prepared me mentally and physically to go out there and dominate. Yeah.
Coach Rhule has used you a lot here as, you know, an example of, hey, if you do what we ask, it works. Why does it work?
Yeah, it's just the process aspect of it. You know, winning is hard. You know, doing this at a high level, playing football at a high level is hard. So, you know, what he preaches is just continuing to stack days and, like, believe in the process, believe in seeing something, you know, greater ahead. And it's hard to do that when you're in it. Like, it's hard to do that when you're training every single day, working really, really hard. You might wonder, like, you know, why am I doing this? But the process, it pays off. And that's something that, like, we've been teaching here for a while. Like, this year, I'll say a bigger jump from last year to this year was – when we won our sixth game, it wasn't like everybody wasn't like, oh, my God, we're going to a bowl game. We had greater plans ahead. And that's just like comes from us believing in the process every single day. And I'm really excited, obviously, for the program moving forward. I'm hoping that, you know, everybody can buy into that because, you know, we want to be in the playoffs and do a lot of things next year. And I'm going to be helping them every step of the way, too.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so towards the end of the year, everybody knew what Nebraska was going to do. They're going to hand the ball off to 21. Why were you able to continue to still have the dominant performances that you had when everybody was doing everything they could to take you out of it?
Yeah, one, I would just say my mentality, and two, I would just say my IQ for the game of football. And like I just said about Coach EJ, he prepared me really, really well to go out there and just me understanding that I'm not just out there and running the ball. Like, I'm out there reading fronts. I'm out there understanding who's blocking who. I was kind of playing mind games with a lot of defenders at some points in the season. And so even though they knew I was getting the ball, I was smarter, you know, than them. And also I was more prepared. So when I was on the field, I felt like I could do anything just because I was so much more prepared. I know I put the work in. So the football part was the easy part for me. But it was funny and cool seeing, like, coaches every week say, like, oh, yeah, we're going to, you know, try to shut down 21. We're going to stack the box. We're going to do this. And, like, none of it worked. Obviously, I knew it wasn't going to work. But it was just funny. Knowing that they were game planning to stop me because in high school it was the same way. Kind of like teams knew I was getting the ball and they still couldn't stop it. And I give credit to my O-line too as well because everybody knows I'm going to get the ball. But at the end of the day, we got to go out there and play. And, you know, it was dominant for all season.
I love that. So I just recently talked to Jamal Rhule, the next generation of a Husker running back coming in. And he mentioned you in his recruitment process and how much it meant to him to be able to have a conversation with you and pick your brain. And you're not going to sell anybody on something that you don't believe. You're genuine in that way. So can you just maybe give us an insight into what your pitch was and why you full-heartedly believe that a guy like Jamal Rhule could come here and succeed?
Yeah, I kind of just told him what it means to be a Husker, not just on the field but off the field. I told him, you know, coming here, it's a brotherhood. It's something that, like, You'll look back on it 10 years from now. You'll be able to laugh with your friends and, like, probably be at their wedding someday. It's not just committing to university for football. It's committing to university for the people here, for the facilities, for the classroom. There's a lot of things that play into it. And I kind of just told them that, like, coming into college, you just got to be hungry. You know, if things not going your way, you kind of just got to keep grinding. Let my story be an example to you coming in as a true freshman. And he really took that He loved the advice that I gave him because his family and my family kind of like similar in that aspect of they come from a humble, you know, background. And I talked to his dad, talked to his mom. They all loved my advice. And I know I can give him the advice because I've been through it. It's different when you've been through it. And being able to give back to somebody like that means a lot to me. And so whether if it's him or any other recruit, I'll be willing to do that just because I've been through it. I know what it takes. And also, like, I want them to be successful. I want every running back or anybody that comes through here to be successful. So those are the lessons I've told them. And I'm pretty sure I'll be in contact with them moving forward as well.
I was going to ask you, you probably knew towards the end of the season what your future might look like. You didn't have to continue to contribute to the recruiting efforts. Why was that still important for you?
Yeah, this is a special place, and I want special people and special recruits here. So any way I can help, I'll be willing to do that. I know when Rocco hit the portal like last year, right away I texted him. I'm like, oh, yeah, you got to come here. I asked what he was looking for. He said a brotherhood. I was like, that's exactly what Nebraska is. So if there's any way I can help recruit here. You know, I even told Coach Rule, like, I'll be more than willing to do that just because I know it's a special place and I'll be able to give people, you know, great advice and tell them about how it is here.
Not just football, but, I mean, you've been at every basketball game, I feel like, this season, both men's and women's. You're everywhere. You're all in the community. How much does this place mean to you, even just outside of the football team?
Yeah, this place means a lot to me, and I don't want to just be remembered for, you know, Emma Johnson on the football field. I want to be remembered for Emma Johnson as a person. And so being in the community is something that, like, I've always done since I was a younger kid, and kind of just how I was raised with my family and things like that. So giving back in terms of just going out and supporting, you know, whether if it's girls basketball, boys basketball, just any sport. The hoop tour me and Dylan did, it was kind of cool, too. It kind of set things off. I remember my first game I went to, and it was just me. And I kind of brought him along with me the second time. But just giving back to the community means a lot. And also, I love watching the game of basketball because I played it for a long time. And I played through my senior year as well, too. But I just love supporting, you know, other teams and things like that because they support us, too. But just want to be able to leave my mark here in that aspect of just giving back and supporting as much as I can and being an inspiration to kids, too. I know a lot of kids have a dream, even if it's football or not, but just in life. And I want to be able to be that person they can look up to.
I think, too, seeing you interact, too, you genuinely enjoy interacting with people and talking to people, getting to know people. It's not just like, hey, I'm here to take some photos. Like, you actually genuinely enjoy spending time with the people here in Lincoln.
Yeah, I do. And like I said, that just comes from my family, my parents. They kind of just raised me that way. And I want people to know, like, people, it's kind of crazy when little kids are, like, shy to ask me for a picture. I kind of start a conversation with them just because I just want them to know I'm a normal human just like them. And so, I've had a lot of cool conversations with kids, gotten to know people's names, different things like that. And I know when I was a kid, I used to look up to people, too. So I know some of those kids are going to remember that for the rest of their lives. And, I'm just glad to be in the position to help them.
Mekhi Nelson, Isaiah Mosey, Quentin Ives, how ready are those guys to burst onto the scene here?
Yeah, they're extremely ready. And I'll say just because I know who their coach is, Coach EJ. And I told you, he's not going to put them on the field or he's not going to give them a chance if they don't know what they're doing out there. And so I know he's probably coaching them extremely hard right now. He's probably yelling in practice, like, no Emmett, no problem. He's probably yelling all that type of stuff right now because I know his mentality. And it's not just like, you know, obviously I'm gone, but he wants to keep that, you know, pipeline going in the running back room. And, yeah, the sky's the limit for those guys. I'm going to be a mentor to them as much as I can to moving forward. But I'm excited for them and their future careers. And, you know, I hope they can continue to grind and just keep getting better and being better men on and off the field.
I said I'd ask you this, but you probably won't answer. Who scores the first rushing touchdown?
Out of those three? Mm-hmm. Dang.
But you, were you going to pick TJ?
Honestly, it could be him too, which is that's a good thing. But, I don't know. Whoever scores the first touchdown, I'll be celebrating with him. Though. I couldn't sit here and tell you who's going to be the first one. But, I hope they all get in the end zone.
They all are ready and have the capabilities of being able to do that.
Yeah, I hope they can all get in the end zone, honestly. So, yeah, that'll be fun to watch.
We saw that this time of year going to the bowl game. You, Quentin, and Ramir all had a day.
Yeah, hopefully Quentin can repeat what he did last year. But that was a special moment. And I got a question asked about, like, one of my favorite memories here. And it was definitely that bowl game in New York last year, seeing Ramir, you know, after what he's been through and, like, seeing him get MVP. That was, like, a special moment for me. So, hopefully we can go out on top this year, too.
Listen, I had a goal going into this. I was going to try to do a TikTok with you throughout this season. We didn't get it done, but maybe in Vegas.
Yeah, for sure. Because
you were all over TikTok. I've had people ask me about it. So give you a follow, right? Because you're going to keep that going, too. So if people want to keep up with your next chapter.
I think it's EmmaJ_21. So if y'all want to go.
One more time. What is it?
EmmaJ_21. That's my TikTok page. But yeah, I'll be out there in Vegas supporting the guys. So if anybody wants to make a TikTok, let me know. Definitely make one.
Sure. All right. Last thing I got for you. Final message. What would be your words to Husker Nation?
Husker Nation has been real. I love you guys. Always going to be here to support you guys. And just want you guys to know that, you know, Emmett Johnson wants to leave his mark, not just as a football player, but as a person. And it's always going to be GBR forever. And God bless you all.
Great stuff. I remember, like it was yesterday, our first interview on signing day.
That's crazy. Yeah.
In fact, I messaged you. I was like, happy four-year anniversary.
4 years.
crazy. That was my first year here at Nebraska. Yeah. And it's been just such an honor and a pleasure to get to follow your career. We'll continue to be fans of you at the next level. And I know we haven't seen the last of you. You'll be back often. Oh,
for sure. Yeah, I'll be back to support Husker Nation. They know what it is. I'll be back.
Awesome. Well, great stuff. Best of luck to you. Appreciate your time.
Appreciate you.
Again, the All-American running back, Emmett Johnson, here with us for a Cornhusker Conversation presented by Woodhouse. Woodhouse has been a trusted partner in your everyday since 1975. Shop for your next vehicle with the home team at Woodhouse and the official auto dealer of Nebraska Athletics.